What's up, Atlanta sports fans? My name is Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports with wacky ass hijinks, insight, and analysis. Adam, how's it going, sir?
It's going really well, Graham.
Yeah.
Been a big week in Atlanta sports.
It certainly has
been. It's the first time in a while I'm actually excited about the different topics that we have to discuss.
I know. Last week's show was a little rough.
Yeah,
in terms of the news going on.
Right, right. So there's actually a lot of big news that this happened this week, so I'm jacked about it.
Yeah, you got your NBA draft. We'll be talking some Devonta Freeman news. We'll be talking some Braves. Exciting Braves stuff going on. They're pretty hot, and Freddie Freeman moving from first base to third base is the plan once he returns from the DL. So got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
I do have to go ahead and say, Graham, I apologize.
Oh, we know why you're apologizing. At least I do. Why don't you tell the users, as you like to call them, why you're apologizing?
Well, Graham, we've been doing this podcast for now, what?
I think, like, since March.
It's
March-ish.
Almost July.
Yeah. So this is our 17th episode, I think.
Yeah. And we're, we're doing our thing.
Yep.
But I had an opportunity to really put us on the map. Yesterday, I was at work, and I was walking through the parking garage and noticed Thomas Dimitroff parking. The Thomas Dimitroff.
General manager of the Atlanta Falcons, for those of you that don't know. Although, if you're listening to this show, you sure as hell should know that.
I'd imagine you would know that.
Yeah.
So anyways, I did a double take, made eye contact with the guy, gave him a head nod, and went on with my life.
Did he return the head nod?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a mutual head nod.
That's good.
I felt really good about that.
Vindicated.
But I wasn't about to run up to him and...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thomas Dimitroff.
I did that one time. This was like 10 years ago, also in a parking garage, when I saw Rod Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
An old D-tackle for the Falcons back in the day. And I ran into him in a parking garage, and I was like, hey, you're Rod Coleman. He was like, yeah. And then I just, like, awkwardly walked up to him and, like, shook his hand and was like, yeah.
I'm sure he wanted to just punch you in the face.
It was brutal. I wanted to punch myself in the face.
So embarrassing.
But, so anyways, we had that, and I didn't think I'd see him again. But I was like, that's cool. I had that nice little moment with Thomas Dimitroff. But then I realized, oh, this guy's got to leave at some point.
He's not just going to stay in the parking garage for the rest of his... of his day.
And I had to give a cashier a break, so I was like sitting in the booth where he would be leaving. And then like in my head, I'm going through like, and I had already texted Graham, and I was like, this could be our chance. Like, this is a big opportunity. And I was like, I'm going to take a shot if I get this opportunity to see him again. So as I'm like...
What shot were you thinking about taking?
Asking him to come to the Adam Kalal studio for an interview.
Oh, man.
So I'm sitting there in my head like rehearsing my little speech that I would do, but not really thinking that it would ever happen. I was like, there's no way he's going to come out in these 20 minutes that I'm sitting here. Then sure enough, I see his red BMW rolling around the corner.
It wasn't in his Land Rover.
No, he was in a red BMW.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I guess he had done some shopping that day, and he comes out and as soon as I saw it, I was like, nope, I'm not going to ask him to come on the podcast. I just knew it in my heart of hearts that I could have pulled the trigger.
It was a long shot, and you shouldn't have beat yourself up about it.
This is true. But we did chat, at least.
Yeah. What'd you talk about?
I just said, hey, I'm a big fan of you and Coach Quinn, what you guys have done for the team. And he was kind of quiet for a second, but then he chimed in and started asking me questions about if I think the Falcons are going to be able to come back from this, from the Super Bowl, and make a run this year. And I said I did. And he started talking about how the locker room already, he's seen a lot of positivity, and they're coming back, and like they're feeling great about this season, according to him. So that's great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I was like, so the brotherhood, that's a real thing? He said, oh, absolutely, it's a real thing. And then the other thing he was squawking about was how everyone's comparing us to the Panthers.
After the Panthers lost the Super Bowl in the previous year. Yeah,
exactly, and then really sucked it up last year. And he's like, well, that's the difference between Cam Newton and Matt Ryan, so he's not worried about it at all.
Nice. That's a hot take right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's some actual insider knowledge there.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe Thomas will listen to this and give us this opportunity to bring him on the show.
You never know.
Yeah.
That's cool, though, that you're able to talk to him. And he was open.
Yeah,
he didn't just blow you off.
He was such a cool dude.
Yeah.
Just seemed like any other guy. So
was he as articulate as he is normally?
Very articulate. Yeah. Yes. I was impressed. I don't know if he was impressed, but I was impressed.
He's probably just trying to get out of there as fast as he could.
No, 100%, 100%. But he's like, oh, I guess as a fan, I got to appease this little guy.
That's cool, though. Yeah. That's awesome.
That was exciting.
Chance moments like that are always fun when they do happen, if they happen.
I was just happy that something exciting actually happened to me and something to talk about and bring to the show.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, to add on to Thomas's point, I think another thing that separates the Falcons from the Panthers, we're not losing anybody that's really pivotal on defense. Like, they lost Josh Norman. We haven't let our offensive line go to hell. And, of course, you'll take Matt Ryan over Cam Newton any day of the week.
I really should have asked him about that offensive guard position, though.
Oh, with Chester leaving, yeah. That's still my one concern. But
that's what the guys on 680 were talking about this week. Like, because you have, like, 2 to 3 year window to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And if you blow it because of a offensive guard, not having that in place,
yeah,
it's going to be...
That's brutal.
Wicked tough to come back from.
Certainly. all right, so diving into the rest of the show here, we're going to start with the Hawks. Since they've been making some waves over the last few days. We'll start with something that happened since we recorded last time, which is the trade of Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this on my phone, and I literally went like, yeah! Like, I felt like I was, I don't know, getting some information about, like, a raise or, you know, something good happening in my life or to someone I know. Instead, I was happy about getting rid of the biggest man-child in the NBA, who has now been on 5 different teams in 5 calendar years.
Yeah, which is a big sign.
Yeah.
You're not sad about losing out on the new 3-point potential of Dwight?
That was one of the first things I thought about, and I was like, the Hornets got to deal with that shit now.
What if he's like a stud, really?
I don't care.
Shoots like 48% from the 3.
If that happens, I'll pay you $100.
Deal.
You don't have to pay me anything.
Deal.
So the Hawks traded Dwight Howard in the number 31 overall pick to the Hornets for Marco Bellinelli and Miles Plumlee, one of the many Plumleys to come out of Duke. He's not the good one. That one is Mason. And Adam, what was your first reaction to the trade? Because a lot of people are upset that that even though we got rid of Dwight, we didn't clear a lot of cap room because for whatever reason, the Bucks decided to pay Miles Plumlee $52 million over 4 years, and he's been traded a couple of times during that span. So I think he's still owed like $36 million or something like that. And Bellinelli is obviously way beyond his prime, averaged like 10 points a game last year. Serviceable guy off the bench, but nothing to write home about. So what was your first reaction to the trade?
Well, at first I was just excited to get rid of Dwight.
Yep.
And be like, okay, we're moving on from that terrible contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize the Plumlee situation with his terrible contract.
I didn't realize
Plumlee's is a worse contract.
It is. It's
4 years. I think we're saving. It's a little less money, but we're.
I think we're saving like seven.
$4 million a year is all we're saving.
Right. Or
so that
like
seems
that.
That seems pretty crazy to me.
Yeah.
I would have rather cut the guy versus taking out another contract like that.
Well, I think you know at the very least you're getting from the alternative cutting someone. At least you're getting people that can play. And some people are saying that maybe Plumlee can somehow thrive in the system, and at least they're warm bodies that aren't going to be...
Well, at least if we're giving up... Obviously, the best player in this deal is Dwight Howard.
Yes.
We're taking on a shit contract.
Yep. We're trading one shit contract for another, pretty much.
But we're taking a worse contract, basically.
You could argue that, yeah.
So why are we also trading down 10 spots in the draft?
That was the one part that I was really baffled by. Is like, maybe that was the only way they'd take him, and maybe Schlenk didn't think he could find another partner.
Apparently he had 4 other deals on the table, and this was the best one.
Wow, that's saying something.
What else were they out there trading?
I don't know. But if it's worse than Bellinelli and the bad Plumlee.
But they got a jockstrap signed for 5 years and $80 million out there somewhere.
You know what? With the way they're handing out contracts in the NBA, I wouldn't be surprised. Hell, you or me would make $8 million a year at this rate. Yeah, once I knew last year when Timofey Mozgov got like a $70 million contract for 4 years after he averaged like 5 points a game and like four boards, yeah. I was like, the NBA
is absurd.
Yeah, the way they're paying people is just ridiculous now. Yeah.
And that one they already know is a mistake. He got traded as well.
Yeah. But I was fine with the trade overall because it gets rid of my mortal enemy, Dwight Howard, after he showed his ass multiple times this year. Mm-hmm. Had multiple occurrences where he didn't get along with various players. Would have times when he didn't talk to the media after games, leaving his teammates to field questions about him. And then, of course, the incident I will always bring up is him out at 3 a.m. in a car that's not registered and with no insurance at 3 a.m. the night of an elimination game. That is horseshit. And obviously, he was on Bud's shit list because he didn't even play in the fourth quarter of said elimination game.
Yeah.
So I think even though we did not get a good return for him, I think the important thing was just to get rid of him. Whatever it took, just get rid of him.
Yeah. It
needed to be done.
His homecoming lasted less than a year.
Yeah.
Did you hear the shit about him being on Twitter? He was like doing a live tweet with the fans.
Yeah, he was like, what do you think about all these trade rumors going around? And while he's tweeting, he was traded.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's got to be terrible feeling for that guy, for Dwight.
Yeah, and I'll say...
I know he's not happy about it.
I'll say this about Dwight, as much shit as I give him. I know he is a big-time charity guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's done a lot of things in the community.
Yeah, he's always... Everywhere he's gone, be it Orlando, L.A., Houston here, which I'm sure will continue in Charlotte, and he's always very close to the community and does a lot of good charitable work, so I can't knock him for that, obviously. Unless I was an asshole.
Which you are.
Which I am. But even if I was, then I would be even more of an asshole. But, which I could be.
But without a doubt, he had multiple on-court incidences, be it with teammates or...
The media.
Media, yeah, leaving.
He's a distraction. A distraction. And honestly, we're probably going to get rid of Paul Millsap. And would you really want Dwight Howard to be... The veteran presence on that team influenced the way these kids like Schroeder and Torian Prince are going to be thinking.
Nah, and I think that's a big reason why he's gone.
Yeah.
Schlenk just wanted to wipe the old board clean.
Yeah. So there's another rumor going around that there's a potential sign-and-trade for Paul Millsap with a few teams. The Nuggets and the Kings are included in those rumors. Would you be in favor of a sign-and-trade, Adam, for Paul Millsap?
Yeah, because then we get something out of him. But explain how those work. Like, why? I understand that we can give him the most money.
Yep.
But why would the other teams want to agree to that?
I think it's a good question, and I've always wondered that about the sign and trade too. There could also be a way for them to get additional assets, potentially. They could try to squeeze a draft pick out of us or something like that, or maybe a solid bench player.
Right.
Who knows? But
I guess it's also the team's way of guaranteeing that they get Paul Millsap versus putting an offer out there and him possibly choosing another team.
Correct.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, and I think that would probably play more into it than getting an additional piece. Yeah, that sounds pretty smart.
Yeah. It's what I do.
Yeah. And so I would like that because the biggest issue I had with Horford leaving was we got jack shit for him. We got absolutely jack shit for him. And had that happen in consecutive off seasons would be inexcusable.
It's going to happen, though. I don't think the sign and trade thing's going to happen.
We'll see. NBA free agency is the Wild West. It's fucking crazy.
It has been more exciting so far than the actual playoffs.
I was just about to say that. And that shows how ridiculous and uninspired and full of shit that the NBA is right now for letting their league become this superstar video game fantasy draft bullshit league that is the most uninteresting postseason I've ever watched in any sport ever in my life this year. I've never seen a worse postseason than I have this season. There was one good series at that.
It all started with LeBron.
Yep. And
going to Miami, taking his talents.
Well, I actually think it started with the Celtics team in 08 when they had Pierce, Allen, and Garnett.
That's fair. And then LeBron did it.
Yeah. And But yeah, and so I am fine with the Hawks tanking, blowing it up, keeping key pieces like a Torian Prince and a Schroeder.
Schlenk says it's not a rebuild.
I know he says it's not a rebuild, but I think he has to say that. He has to save face. If he doesn't say that, then no one's going to give a shit. The fair weather fans, the fan that comes to five games a year that isn't really a big fan, isn't going to come.
Right.
So I think he has to say it. But I think the real fans, I think, know what he's trying to do, even if he won't say it. He's got to retool this team and try to put in a position to succeed 5-6 years down the road when guys like LeBron are gone, when Durant's older. And maybe, you know, the way of the league is trying to build a superstar team. Maybe we can be in a position to do that by that point. But we are not contending for the next 5 to 6 years, I don't think, at all.
So we have to build through the draft.
Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of brings us to, speaking of retooling and refactoring, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. The NBA draft happened last night, so we're recording this episode on June
23rd, 2017.
Yep. And so the draft happened last night on June 22nd, and the Hawks had 3 picks. The top 10 of the draft went as everyone expected. All those lottery guys, Josh Jackson, Lonzo Balls, Fultz, all went pretty early. And you get to the Hawks, and we selected a guy, John Collins, out of Wake Forest, who I actually have watched.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because North Carolina basketball fan.
Oh, he watched him on TV.
Yeah, he went to Wake Forest, so I obviously saw him when Carolina played Wake. So basically, Collins is 6'9 or 6'10, depending on what scouting report you look at. Doesn't have a huge wingspan for a guy of that size, but is very athletic, runs up and down the court really well. Pretty good moves on the interior. Gets a lot of rebounds, average 19 points and almost 10 boards a game, pretty much a double-double. It's like 19 points, like 9.8 boards a game. ACC is one of the best conferences in the league, so you got to like that.
He led them in PER.
Oh, per. We don't want to talk
what
about
the hell
per.
Does that mean?
It's pretty much like the war of basketball.
He led the entire ACC in PER.
That's pretty damn good.
So I don't know what the hell that means.
It's pretty much war. It's taking every statistic and making an equation out of it and then saying this is your overall value to your team.
What does it stand for, though?
Player something or
evaluation rate?
Could be. I don't know. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
But
that sounds good to lead ACC in that.
Yeah.
He had a monster sophomore year.
Yes, he did. I was always impressed by his athleticism, his rebounding. He got 3 offensive boards a game. So the detractors are saying that, yeah, he's a pure post player. Doesn't really have any finesse moves, doesn't have a mid-range game or a three-point game. But that's not to say that he can't develop. And if there's one thing the Hawks have done well ever since Budenholzer came in with his player development guys is be able to develop players. DeMar Carroll, no one knew who the hell he was, went off to, you know, a huge contract in Toronto after having a career year with the Hawks. Paul Millsap really blossomed under Budenholzer. Dennis Schroeder's done really well under Budenholzer. Kyle Korver found the fountain of youth. Horford got better at shooting the outside jumper, even though he took it too often. Guys have improved. Jeff Teague had the season of his life under Budenholzer. So if there's one thing they can do is develop players and young players too. Torian Prince really taking that next step forward last year. So what do you think of the move, sir?
Per usual with these drafts, I didn't know a damn thing about the guy coming into it. Mm-hmm. But after looking at it, I've heard he wasn't even, like, he was on their draft board, obviously, but, like, they didn't think there was a chance in hell that he would drop to 19.
Yeah, I heard that he was really turning heads at the combine at various workouts, and that he actually had developed a three-point shot, and people weren't expecting that. And like, oh, okay, he's really, you know, expanding his game.
Yeah, so I don't know why he dropped, but, like, the Hawks didn't even bring him in for a workout mm-hmm. just because they
didn't think it was going to happen.
He was going to get there.
Yeah.
But I mean, so they snatched him because it was going with Schlenk's philosophy, as many people have, is the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happens to fill a need as well with Howard leaving and most likely Millsap.
Right.
So that's a win-win right there.
Yeah. And I think, he can play either the 4 or the 5, given his post presence.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm happy with it though. After looking at all of that, there's no one else on the board that I think we should have taken instead.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it was a good move overall.
See how it goes. We got getting a nice little core together now of young guys.
Yeah, I'll say this in terms of guys that are drafted at this spot for the Hawks over the last few years, you know, like 15 or worse. This is the one I've been excited about the most.
Well, you know, the last guy we drafted at 19 out of Wake?
Jeff Teague. There you go.
That was a pretty good pick.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That one worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying this is steal, so.
Yeah, so that's a good thing.
So should we say it too?
Steal.
John Collins is a steal.
So our next pick, number 41, was Tyler Dorsey out of Oregon. So, you know, Dorsey, the scouting report on him is that he is a really lightning-quick guard who can score on the interior with his penetration ability and on the perimeter. Shot 42% from three-point range. Definitely seems like a worthy addition to the team. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, when you get guys in this position, sometimes they're not equipped to, you know, be ready to play in the NBA immediately. But a lot of people think he is, just given his offense. No one's really saying anything about his defense, below average marks, but people are saying offensively this guy can really contribute.
Yeah, I know he really dominated in the NCAA tournament and was a big part of Oregon making it to the Final Four this past year. So, shooter. I'm always okay with the shooter.
Yeah. You can probably plug him in at the two or maybe backup point guard initially.
Well, I think that's one of their big goals is for him to be the backup point guard to Schroeder, which will be a big upgrade over Delaney, and even though I am a Calderon guy, but be a big upgrade if he can run that spot.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's another good pick for where we were. I mean, if you can get a guy who's projecting to be able to contribute immediately in some form and at pick number 41 in the NBA draft, I think that's a damn good pick.
This one I am biased towards, though. There was a player on the board that I would have loved us to take.
Oh, yeah, who's that?
Jerron Blossom Game out of
Clemson. Oh, he went into the draft? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, dude. So, like, last year, he would have been a first-round pick if he came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bit of a down year this year. Shooting kind of went off the charts a little bit.
He still scored, though.
Yeah, he's a huge athlete. Huge wingspan.
He's a wing player, correct?
Yeah. He's a small forward.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy has potential to be a stud, and he was a senior, so he's going to jump in and contribute now. I forget who drafted him. I think the Spurs.
Classic Spurs.
So that's going to be the Spurs' second-round pick.
Kawhi.
And it was like three picks after us. So I would have loved to bring in him and see him contribute immediately, but... Dorsey.
Yeah. I think it's a solid consolation prize for you.
I suppose. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's not like we're saying, you know, automatically he's going to be a solid NBA player, but...
No.
No. We shall see. You never know with these drafts. It's just all speculation until they actually get on the court.
Then we had the last pick of the draft as well. Drafted some guy out of France that'll probably never see the court. Alpha Kaba. Out of France. Guess he's named after a fraternity.
That's terrible.
No, that's the joke for Alpha Kappa. Anyways, big center guy. 7'5 wingspan. I actually did a little
research
on this guy. Yeah. And a lot of people who watch European basketball were like, why is this guy... Like, he can shoot the three.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And... He's strong as hell. They're like, what's the deal? What's he missing? Why does he not have higher draft stock than this? So,
interesting.
MSN Sports, which is, we all know the biggest source of sports news.
Oh, yeah, MSN.
Rated this draft pick at A-. So,
wow.
But he'll be in France.
Maybe
we'll see him in 2020.
Yeah, who knows? With those picks, the likelihood of them actually contributing in any way that's meaningful or even seeing the court is slim to none.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, overall, I think a pretty solid draft. See how John Collins turns out.
Yeah. Hold on, sorry. Yes.
Does it?
Yeah, we should wake him up. You're snoring big smooth.
I'm snoring now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Had a long day.
Oh, I swear.
It's all good.
I readjust.
Do you want to go take like a proper nap?
No, I'm good.
So, yeah, I think the big takeaway here is John Collins. We're hoping he can develop into a guy that can contribute in a major way this year. And when I say major, I mean see the court, show signs of life, and not necessarily saying you got to be a stud or even a serviceable player this year, but show me signs of life. Show me that you can develop into something that will hopefully I'm going to start there. It was terrible.
So, the thing we really want to see out of John Collins this year is to work on developing his outside shooting touch, because they've already said, Bud and Schlenk have said, I mean, that's the way the NBA is going.
Yep.
They think he has the potential to develop this touch.
Mm-hmm.
So work on that, keep getting rebounds, and we just want to see that.
We just want to see that the potential is there.
Right.
We want to see that there's something to look forward to. It might be a difficult adjustment period initially because of his inability to play outside initially. So I think we want to be able to see him take those steps, show those signs of life that he can actually do that in the future, and prove to us that he can bang in the post, because being able to, even though it's going out of style, being able to do that, there's still a place for that in this league as long as you can be versatile. So,
hear, hear.
So that's our Hawks draft coverage.
So, the Braves. They've kind of been doing what I, last week, they've won 7 out of 10.
Yeah, 7 out of 10, took 3 of 4 from the Giants in their most recent series.
Should have been a sweep.
Should have been. I watched
Jim Johnson
game.
Blew a
Julio
save.
Teheran actually pitched really
he
well.
He pitched a hell of a game, man.
Yeah, 7 innings of shutout baseball, and then he's let down by the defense.
Yeah,
Camargo makes an error, Dansby makes an error, I think Matt Adams made an error.
It was ugly. They've had a couple innings like that this year where just the defense just falls apart.
It reminded me of that Angels game where you gave up 9 runs in that one inning.
Yeah.
It was very similar to that, because after you make those first two errors, Slater on the Giants comes up and hits a 3-run homer, and none of that should have happened. If anything, it would have been a solo home run. You're still up 2-1. So that was really frustrating to see. And Jim Johnson also didn't look good last night. He got the save. It was a wild game. We were up 12-6, wound up winning 12-11. I wonder if... Vizcaino, if his time is coming again for him to try to reclaim the closer's role.
Yeah, Vizcaino's had his moments too recently.
He has. I think it's fair to say, though, that Jim Johnson is not the closer of the future.
No.
He's the stopgap.
I think he's first on deck to get traded if he has a couple good weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
Trade him off to someone desperate.
Mm-hmm.
But this team's got fight, Graham.
I like the way they're playing, and Matt Adams is just kicking ass. 13 home runs. He had another one last night.
So that that'll lead us into the big news, in my eyes anyways, of this past week.
Yeah.
Is where Freddie Freeman suggested that when he comes back as a third baseman.
To keep Matt Adams bat in the lineup.
Yeah, because that was always the big question, is what happens when Freddie comes back, because Matt Adams can't really play left field.
I know we speculated that, you know, you trade Markakis perhaps and slide, or Kemp and slide Matt Adams into one of the corner outfield positions, but I know the Cardinals tried to do that in spring training, and they were like, good God, what
apparently
have we done?
Apparently it didn't. I would like to see the video of how it could have been that bad. But
right.
Apparently the guy just, I don't know, I guess he doesn't move very well.
Yeah, it was interesting when the story...
He plays a decent first base, though.
Right. It was interesting when the story came out, though, because when it first emerged, it was just a rumor. And I thought, well, the Braves are putting out smoke screens. They're saying, we value Adams so much that we're going to keep his bat in the lineup. And we're gonna actually move our franchise cornerstone to a position he hasn't played in 10 years. And I was like, oh, they're just trying to increase Matt Adams' trade value even further. The numbers are great, but also let's just say that he's so important to us that we're going to keep him in the lineup when the guy who's he's replaced temporarily is coming back. But no, and then it comes out that Freddie suggested it.
Yeah, and that was a game changer for everybody.
Yeah.
And it just shows the type of player that Freddie is. Like, you want a franchise player that's willing to do that.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, actually, Hugo brought this up.
Oh, Hugo from Tucker.
Hugo from Tucker brought this up. He was like, Chipper moved to left field. That worked out well. I think it was fine.
Yeah, he wasn't. I think. Well,
I guess he had a down year offensively that year.
He wasn't the best defensive outfielder. There's a couple years he played in the outfield. I don't remember him really, being anything special in the outfield. But I don't think he was a killer. He wasn't like Matt Kemp.
But he did that because we had Vinny Castillo, who was a huge bat.
Yeah, and even though he didn't really contribute, but on paper he was a huge bat.
He wanted to keep that bat and do what's best for the team.
Yeah,
so that's what Freddie's doing here. Yeah, Freddie just wants to win,
which is great. my worry about this. Well, here's the good news. Even if it doesn't work out, the good news is that we're probably not going to win anything this year, so it doesn't matter. And we get to see if we can keep Matt Adams as a long-term guy. Who knows? Yeah.
And bottom line, he's going to have more trade value in the offseason than in the middle of the season.
Adams?
Yeah.
Maybe, unless he like really regresses back to who Matt Adams was before he came here.
You act like he was some shithead.
He wasn't a shithead, but he wasn't this. This is the best he's ever played.
Because
he's
never
life.
Got consistent playing time.
He's fair enough, but he's never played like this ever.
SunTrust Park probably helps.
Probably does a little bit, but the dude is just, he's on it right now.
Yeah.
I think the one area this what concerns me outside of Freddie playing a position he's never played professionally at this level, at least, is what this does to Dansby Swanson. He's already had a lot of defensive miscues this year. He's going to be asked to probably cover more ground because Freddie's not going to be able to cover the ground a normal third baseman would be able to cover. I don't know that, but I can say that by having watched him play first base.
He's a hell of a first baseman.
He's a good first baseman, but I will say this, that he doesn't cover a shit ton of ground. He's not supposed to as a first baseman. And I'm just wondering how that's going to translate to Dansby. I think it's going to increase the amount of errors he makes. I think it's going to make us give up more runs. I don't foresee this being a long-term thing or really working out just because you can't not play a position for that long and then just say, okay, I'm going to just rotate to the hot corner. Those slow rollers, those bunts.
It's very different.
Yeah, it's a completely different position.
But he
and be able to just immediate. I don't think anyone's expecting like an immediate transfer where he's just going to be the stud at third. But I also am just worried about what this does to the rest of the team on that side of the diamond.
I think he's more athletic than people give him credit for. He's got a cannon of an arm.
He can throw the ball pretty well.
And he played it like this was his natural position growing up. So
yeah, but he hasn't played it in 10 years. He played a golf.
I saw a
single A ball.
I saw a great, I suppose it was a meme. So remember did you see the movie Moneyball?
Yes.
So when Ron Washington was also the infielding coach for the A's.
Yep.
In that movie. Mm-hmm. And Scott Hatterberg was moving from catcher to first base.
Yep.
So they could keep his bat in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And it's Billy Bean and Ron Washington sitting down at Scott Hatterberg's house, like saying, this is what we're going to do. You're going to learn to play first base.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, I guess learning a new position, I'm already a major leaguer. Like, how hard can it be? And it pans to Ron Washington. He's like, oh, it's incredibly hard. Which is funny because now Ron Washington's the new coach trying to teach Freddie the same thing.
Yeah, I saw Freddie, I think they posted on Twitter him taking ground balls.
No, I saw the video. I saw him charging and firing one to first.
Big difference between that and playing that in a game.
But hey,
you know what? I applaud Freddie for doing this.
I think it's awesome.
As Adam said, shows that he's a team first guy and he's a loyal guy. He is this franchise.
The guy just wants to win again.
Yeah, he'll do whatever it takes to win. He thinks this gives us a better chance to win, so be it. If we can score, 5-6 runs a game and, we get that lineup of, Inciarte, Phillips, Freeman, Kemp, Adams as your top five, that's pretty damn good. Those are good table setters.
That's loaded,
and that's a loaded 3-4-5. That's murderer's row right there. So
followed by, you still got Markakis in there.
Yeah, Markakis. Dansby's shown signs of life. You know who I really like?
Tyler Flowers.
I do, yeah, Tyler Flowers. But you know who I also really like?
Johan Camargo.
Johan Camargo.
This guy's looking great.
Has played really, really well.
No, he's looking, I mean, he's like, remember when like Martin Prado got called up and he wasn't a big prospect or anything, but then he turns into like an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
Like just solid, consistent. Johan Camargo puts his bat on the ball. consistently.
Yes. And I love
hits it hard every time. Even
I love
outs.
His approach at the plate too. When there's a pitch outside, he goes the opposite way. He's a very smooth, very natural swing. Doesn't try and kill the ball and just puts it in play.
Yeah.
And I really like the way he's playing. He's hitting over 300, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he is. It's so much so that Rio Ruiz has now been sent down.
Yeah.
And they're saying, at least until Freddie comes up, Camargo's the guy at third.
Right. And so I'm
and he
totally
can play
fine.
Short. He can play shortstop. He can play second base. He can play outfield.
He's the kind of guy you want on your bench in case another health scare happens.
Yeah. So he's going to get his at-bats.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, if you move Phillips at the deadline for somebody, you can slide him.
That's why I think.
Base.
I mean, that's why Phillips. I mean, he's done after this year. He has been really great for us. But we have Camargo. We can put in there. We have
Ozzie Albies.
Even if he's not ready, we got Camargo. So yeah. I think Phillips will be the one veteran to. It's not going to be a fire sale this year, I don't think.
Maybe not, but Phillips' trade value, I'm sure, is pretty high. I'm sure anyone who's looking for a second baseman is going to.
Yeah, Phillips. I'd be okay trading Phillips. I don't want to trade Kemp. I don't want to trade Markakis.
I'd rather trade, you know, as weird as it sounds, even though I'd rather trade Markakis than Phillips. I think Phillips has just contributed so much this year. I'd love to see him keep playing, but I know he doesn't really have a future here.
No, he doesn't. He's 36.
Yeah.
We have a player ready to fill in.
Yeah.
I agree. He's a big part of this team, though.
But the Braves are in second place. The NL East is definitely the worst division in baseball, but they're 8.5 games back right now. They're not going to challenge Washington for the division title. Hell, I don't think they're going to make a wild card run like we think they are. But the pitching's been better in the rotation. Newcomb still looks really good. Had another great outing against the Giants. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday of this week?
What'd you think about Snicker pulling him after 80 pitches?
I didn't like that. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Did you hear his logic behind
it? I did not.
So he said he did it just because Brandon Belt and Posey and Hunter Pence were coming up. And he just
third or fourth time you've seen him.
Yeah, he just had a gut feeling them seeing him for the third time. So that's why he pulled him.
Yeah, okay. I can
say he was just going on his gut.
I can see that. Outside of leaving a couple of curveballs up that got like hammered, but they wound up being flyouts, but they got hit pretty well. He looked, you know, once again looked pretty damn exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is here to stay and he's showing he belongs, so I'm pumped about seeing him succeed.
Speaking of Snicker, now that we're about halfway through this season,
mm-hmm.
What do you think about him coming back next year? Do you think we're going to re-sign him? Because I've heard a lot of talk recently, not only with Ron Washington and this whole Freddie thing, but just the players love Ron Washington, and I love him as third base coach because he just sends everybody no matter what.
Oh yeah, ball goes to the outfield at all. It's like
go 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 go. But is Ron Washington the manager in waiting, or do we keep going?
That's been rumored quite a bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen. Considering his pedigree, considering he took the Rangers to, I think, back-to-back World Series. He lost them both.
Yeah.
But and I think ever since he had that issue with the cocaine stuff and the affair and whatever else happened with his wife, he sort of, I know, took some time off from baseball, and then he's come back the last few years. I think he's ready for another shot. He's not getting any younger. And it wouldn't surprise me to either see him take over next year or go somewhere else.
I doubt he'll be a third base coach with us again next year. So.
I think he was just getting his feet wet again and getting back into it. So I can see that happening, although, I mean, my one gripe with Snitker is a little bit with the bullpen is his insisting on continuing to use Ian Kroll. I do not understand why this guy is still on this team. Every time he comes in, he gets shelled. He's put in high leverage situations a lot. And he doesn't perform. He hasn't performed all year. And I really don't. He had one decent stretch in like May-ish where he had like three or four decent appearances. Other than that, he's been so hit or miss that I just don't understand the rationale of putting him in there. I'll take anyone. I'll take Freeman, the corpse of Eric O'Flaherty. I don't give a shit. Kroll is worthless to me.
I haven't watched him enough to.
Yeah, it's just, he hasn't been good.
Yeah. I wonder what you think just the past 2 years with the number of innings he threw, people just are onto him now or he's not doesn't have the same stuff?
I'm not sure, but every time I see him come in the game, I groan.
Yeah.
It's even when we're getting our asses kicked, I was like, get a fucking fan out in the field to pitch over this guy. It just I don't know. He just has not done anything for me this year, and the numbers show it. 5.30 ERA with a huge whip.
Yeah, it's ugly.
And as a guy of the bullpen, you're only pitching an inning. That sucks.
Yep.
No other way around that. Yeah, Braves are looking good. They're inching closer to 500. I think they're 35-38.
And it's just been fun to watch, too.
Yeah, it's definitely been a situation where I don't feel like watching the Braves is a chore anymore. It's like getting more enjoyable.
No, with all these, we lead the league in walk-off hits.
Yeah. Brandon Phillips with back-to-back walk-offs.
Kemp had one.
Yeah, Kemp had one. It's been fun. So keep an eye on those Bravos.
Oh, you know what we never talked about?
Oh, what's that?
I went to the Atlanta United game.
Oh, we do. Last week. We have to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Arthur said I was going to be completely sold going to a game. And I'm 80% there.
80%. Tell me about your experience.
Okay. Well, we did the whole tailgating thing.
Yeah. So where was that?
A lot right next to the Georgia Tech Stadium. They didn't even mow the damn thing, though.
Oh, there's grass everywhere?
Yeah, it's tall grass.
Oh, is it brushing up against your legs and whatnot?
That's more of a Georgia Tech issue than Atlanta United.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
But it was cool. There were a ton of people tailgating. There's like a big group that had like a bunch of drums and shit, just doing soccer chants, mm-hmm. which was fun. It started pouring rain.
Yep. It's been raining a shit ton lately.
Yeah, it's been nuts.
Every day's been miserable.
So the game was delayed about 30 minutes. Which was fine with me. But going in the game...
just because you have reason to drink more, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm always cool with a delay. But yeah, we had our seats in the upper deck of Bobby Dodd.
Where was it in terms of yard line?
Like the end zone.
Okay.
We were in the corner.
Okay.
And people were crammed in there, man. Like, we had like six of us. And, like, our seats weren't actually there mm-hmm. anymore, so you just kind of had to stand wherever. So people are standing the whole game, which is cool. I was a little disappointed, though. That whole, like, it was a sellout, but they stopped selling the huge back section behind the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
That was completely empty.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Apparently they had just so many issues with, like, bathrooms and beer vendors.
It's just overcrowded.
Yeah. Which I don't really understand, though, because... The stadium's built for that capacity.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
They should be able to facilitate that, but maybe there's... I don't know what you chalk that up to, but that's pretty silly to me.
Yeah, that was odd.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as loud and crazy as I imagined, but maybe mm-hmm. that's just because it's Bobby Dodd.
Right.
And it's a small-ass stadium. But people were into it. I was into it. It's fun. Like, being there is just nonstop action.
Yeah.
It went by quick. Which I liked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, football game, people kind of get in and out.
Right.
With all the
Everybody
breaks.
Everybody standing around for 5 minutes during a commercial break.
All the breaks and whatnot.
Yeah.
We won 3-1. It was a big win.
There's some really nice goals scored in that game.
Yeah.
Jose Martinez is back.
Yeah.
That was cool. He had a really nice goal.
Yeah, he came in at the end of the game, I believe, right?
Yeah.
The last, like, 20 minutes or so. Brought some energy. So it was fun. I mean... I definitely didn't leave it thinking, oh, I hate soccer. That was boring. So
why aren't you totally sold?
I don't know. I think the energy just... I think there was so much hype, I anticipated, like, the most raucous...
Crowd
I've ever experienced in my life.
So not just from a crowd perspective, but from the game. Like, were you engaged in the game the whole time? Did it ever bore you? Was it ever, like, can something happen? No,
I was never bored.
So you were into the game?
Oh, yeah.
Just the atmosphere wasn't what you thought it would be?
I mean, it was a great atmosphere, but I guess it just wasn't like...
The expectations were at such a high level that it could never be met.
I guess I was expecting the crowd that I saw on TV for that first game.
Yeah.
And I guess just not having that one section makes a huge difference. Mm. But Arthur and I tried to get a tomahawk chop going.
Did not happen.
No.
Did people look at you weird?
There were like a few people in front of us that they were like, oh, yeah. But then everyone else was like, what are these idiots doing?
Right.
But... No, it was a good time. I'll definitely go to another game.
Okay. Just have to get myself out there then.
Yeah, cool.
Everybody
experience.
I know has gone to a damn United game except for me.
Yeah.
Just about. Actually, it's not true. But a lot of people have.
Yeah.
I don't think of anything else to talk about on this subject. Was there a lot of bitching at all in the crowd? Here's my question about the crowd. Were they just doing chants the whole time? Were they just engaged? Or were they talking amongst themselves? Or how'd that go? I was wondering if there's any bitching about Mercedes-Benz not being ready.
Not in the one section of people I was sitting in.
Fair enough.
No. Really, the only like talking with other people I did was during the tailgate. Because I had our grill, but it was pouring rain, so I had to like borrow someone's tent.
Fun.
And it was. He said, "No." I mean, this guy knew his soccer. I'll tell you that much. Made me feel like an idiot when I was like, "Oh, it's my first game," and he's like, "I've been to every game." I was like, "Well, it's only 8 games, dude. Right. Like, back off."
But you knew a hell of a lot more about.
Oh yeah, he like coached youth soccer.
Okay.
Or some shit.
He's a legend then.
But he had nothing negative to say about it.
Right.
I think people have enjoyed Bobby Dodd for the most part. Mm-hmm. So that's all I got.
Fair enough.
We're still easing our way into talking soccer.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the new stadium. Give me the new stadium and I'll go to it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard a few other people say. Once that happens.
Yeah. Then they'll check out. Tell you this about Bobby Dodd. I haven't gone there a number of times. Ain't fun sitting there on those. Not that you do a lot of sitting during a soccer
game. No, that's why I say everyone was standing the whole time. We only sat during halftime.
Yeah. There's just some uncomfortable ass benches, though.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the Falcons. Not a heck of a lot going on except for this damn Devonta Freeman stuff. Ever since the Super Bowl, we've been hearing about either his agent or himself saying he wants to get paid elite money, and Thomas Dimitroff coming out repeatedly saying, "We value Devontae, we're going to get this deal done," and yet the squawking continues.
Maybe this is like a just a team bet where they're like, "Hey, someone on this team needs to be a diva. Devontae, you're up."
They drew straws and Devontae got the short straw.
Yeah, that's why he just keeps talking.
It's crazy to me because now it's gone beyond just saying he wants to get paid, blah, blah, blah. Now it's gone to him hypothesizing about himself and not the team, basically saying, you know, if I kept being fed the ball in the Super Bowl, because in the Super Bowl he had 6 carries for 71 yards in the first half, and then in the second half he had like 4 carries for 5 yards, and he was saying basically if they had kept feeding me the ball, that I would have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Didn't he miss a huge block that ended up losing us the game?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did. And so he fails to mention that. He also says, "Oh, no disrespect to Matt or anything like that, but yeah, I would have been the MVP." And, you know, rambling on about all this other stuff. And it was an eerie comparison to Marshawn Lynch saying, "I should have gotten the ball at the 1 yard line. I would have been MVP. I would have been the face of the country," blah, blah, blah.
Madden covers.
Right. And this is unfortunate to me because it feels like Devontae is getting too wrapped up in himself and not the benefit of the team. And I understand he wants to get paid, but it's like when the general manager's saying, "I'm going to pay you, I swear to God, well, he didn't say I swear to God, but it's like pretty much saying it's a guarantee, it's going to get done. Just shut up. Like, there's no reason to keep talking about it. He's showing his ass right now.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. And to say that I was going to be the MVP in a game where, yes, he missed a critical block, you know, we shouldn't have been passing it, but he did miss that critical block. I mean, I think that's ridiculous. You don't hear anyone else on that team. You don't hear Matt Ryan saying that. You don't hear Julio saying that after he made that amazing catch and having put up ridiculous numbers in that Super Bowl that they would have won MVP. They're not focused on individual accomplishments. They're focused on trying to get back there and take care of unfinished business.
It's like me saying, had I started taking steroids when I was in 9th grade, I would have made the varsity team at Lakeside, and then I would have been I guess they don't do MVPs in baseball, do they, for World Series?
Oh, yeah. Of course. There's a World Series MVP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would have led the Braves to, like, 4 World Series in the past decade.
It's a little ridiculous, but it's in the ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah. I really don't understand what he's trying to do here. What is the point of saying that? And this contradicts something Matt Ryan said, where he was asked, like, "Well, what's the hangover effect going, you know, feel like?" And he's like, "Well, you know, we got together in April as a team and did private team workouts. You know, we decided to put that behind us at that point, that we got to get that out of our system." And of course, I think mentally that's always going to be there no matter what you say. And even if you think you've moved on, you're always going to feel the negative effects of that.
Yeah.
However, Matt's saying the right thing in that situation. And to a degree, yes, you got to put it behind you to succeed to a degree. Use that as fire, if anything. So that contradicts your quarterback, your leader, publicly to the media. That doesn't look good.
Is Devontae getting in Dwight Howard territory for you?
No. No. He's not, because he still shows up in balls and for the most part lets his play do the talking. But now he's getting, it seems to be getting a big head now.
Right.
And I don't like it, and he needs to check himself.
What makes you worry a little bit what he's going to do once he does get that big contract? Is he going to be the type of guy that gets his money and then doesn't work as hard?
Right. Because he's still getting paid, you know, only like $900,000, I think, this year. So he's not, I don't think he's going
to make... I don't think that's true.
I don't know. He's making significantly less money
than he's making money that a fourth-round draft pick would make.
Yes. In the final year of his contract.
Yeah.
Of his rookie contract. So
that he signed.
That he signed. So it seems to, like, progressively it's just getting worse with him, and he just needs to stop showing his ass. It really does. And it's incredibly frustrating.
He's turning himself into a...
We do not need a distraction from the brotherhood, from the brothership. Nope. We need to be united as a team... and not let selfish, egotistical desires distract us from our goal. And especially when it's been guaranteed to you. I don't understand what he's trying to do here. Yeah. Who does this serve, Adam?
You're all right, though. You only made $600,000 last year.
Well, there you go. But who does this serve?
Devontae.
Even then, but it makes him look like shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't serve anybody. It makes him look bad. It makes everybody look bad. It's just not a good look. It needs to stop. Someone needs to grab him and say, be quiet. Matt needs to go up to him. Julio needs... Better yet, Julio should go up to him and say, stop it, man.
Shut your trap.
Yeah. He needs to be the leader of these running backs, of Tevin Coleman and Ward and whoever else.
Yeah. A rookie.
And
rookie that could take his
Brian
job.
Hill. Yeah. I don't get it. It's baffling. It needs to stop.
Yeah, quite frustrating.
Anything to add?
That's all I got.
That's all you got.
Yeah. We got a live studio audience tonight. There we go. One of which was going to be our special guest host for those of you who might know him, Brantley Brooks, of the formerly of the Gwinnett Braves, soon to be the Gwinnett Waffle Batters. He was going to be our guest host, but then he gets in the studio and sees what Graham and I do and literally starts snoring.
Yep.
And we lost all confidence in him. And
so I had to cancel the interview.
Yeah. Graham and I just made eye contact and a head nod. It was like, okay, clearly this isn't happening.
Yeah.
But Brantley's here, in case you guys were wondering. Boy, John Galvin out of Philly here as well.
Actually, Braves
right rooting for the Braves, yep.
That's surprising.
So, yeah, John's instilled a lot more confidence in me than Brantley.
Well, John, why don't you come over and say a few words? You've been a big supporter. We should actually talk about what you told us earlier.
Oh yeah, let's get some user
feedback.
Come on,
yeah, take a seat on the Adam Kalau couch.
So this is a guy who's from Philly, not an Atlanta sports guy,
no.
But he's lived in Atlanta for now about a year and a half or two.
Technically 6 months.
6 months, officially.
Officially.
Sure.
He's been going back and forth.
What'd you say about listening to our podcast, John?
You guys actually save my life. Okay. I'm driving from Atlanta, 5 a.m. left, going to Asheville, North Carolina in the last hour and a half. For business.
Yep.
And I'm starting to fall asleep behind the wheel. Music wasn't doing it. Yep. So what do I do? Turn on the best thing I can think of. Your podcast.
See, a lot of people go like Pandora Comedy Station or blast some AC/DC.
Yeah, or some metal or something.
You go Atlanta's own.
Well, technically, I already downloaded your podcast and I hit a little dry patch with Wi-Fi or network capabilities, what have you. Thanks a lot, Verizon.
Yep.
And
shout out to Verizon.
You guys were
one of our many sponsors.
Yep. You guys were the only thing that was downloaded on my phone, so I turned you on, but hell, you did the trick. Fucking right.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Is there just our soothing? Well, I guess not soothing, because if they were soothing.
Right. If it was soothing, it would have put him to sleep.
Yeah.
So I guess us being grating or loud or whatever we are kept him awake.
It was a little bit of everything, especially because when you think about Atlanta sports and how it pairs up nicely with Philly sports, we love to complain.
Right.
We love to complain about our sports teams. In fact, I love when my sports teams play bad because it gives me something to talk about.
There you go.
John was our hockey guy.
Yes.
I was looking at... I didn't realize the Predators were an 8 seed.
Yeah.
That's insane. I didn't know that either.
I would have really, truly appreciated that series had I had that info going into it. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They beat off Senators?
They beat them off good, Adam.
Yeah, they did.
Senators on the other division.
Who's the number one seed that they beat?
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks. Which makes me
which
happy.
Is nice, because going back a couple seasons ago, 2009 series, my dad was in Nashville. He goes and sees the game. It's Nashville Blackhawks. I guess maybe like first round of playoffs, maybe second. But goes, buys a ticket, and on the way home, he's riding up the elevator. Guess who walks onto the elevator?
Scott Thorman.
Patrick Kane.
Scott Thorman. All people. That's great.
Kane steps on the elevator, and the only thing my dad could think of is just, hey, man, good game. And they won that day.
That's awesome.
What does the guy do? He spits on my dad's foot.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he's got two handlers standing on either side of him. So
spit on his foot. What?
Was he drunk?
Why did he do it?
Just, you know, young guy.
Just a jerk off?
So he said good. Well, he wasn't saying like condescending. He was a little bit.
Probably a little bit. No, my dad.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he had it coming.
Wow. Maybe.
That's hardcore.
But I love seeing him beat.
Right. No. Sure.
Shitty way to end the season, though.
Right.
That the last goal in the finals, Pittsburgh.
But actually a good series, unlike NBA.
It's a great series.
Oh, there's a lot of great playoff hockey.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, yeah, John, we're glad we saved your life.
No one can accuse us of not talking hacky or soccer.
If we hadn't started this podcast, John would be dead right now.
I would be. I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
So, good on us, I suppose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Graham, you got anything else to add tonight?
I think that wraps up this episode of Atlanta Zone.
Okay. Well, I'll do your little spiel about our what have yous.
I will not, but I will say this. If you enjoy listening to two drunks ramble about Atlanta sports and think anyone else might be interested, shoot them over to the platform that you listen to the show on, either on iTunes or SoundCloud. We would surely appreciate it, and we appreciate your time today, tonight, whenever you are listening to this. Thank you for making us part of your existence.
Just might save your life.
It just might save your life.
Mm.
Testimony here from one John Galvin.
Strong. Well, for Graham Waldrop, I'm Adam Kalal. Hospitality City.